Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Welcome, listeners. This is Divya Parekh, your host. For today's evening show, I am very happy to share with you that I have one of my most inspiring friends, Dr. Gail Hayes, with us on our radio show. It's going to be a power-packed show, and we are really honored. And it's a privilege to have her on the show. I have seen her in action. I have worked with her personally, and all I can tell you is she is a dynamite. And I know that I will be learning a lot today, and so sit tight with your notebooks and pens. You will be learning a lot as well. So I want to share a little bit about Dr. Gail. Dr. Gail Hayes is the CEO of the Handle Your Business Girl Empowerment Zone. She's an internationally known communicator who lived in Asia for over 4 years and Europe for over 10. She's the author of several books, including The Power of a Woman Who Leads, 1 Minute Success Secrets for Women, and You're a Daughter of the King. Early in her career, she served as the first American female law enforcement officer and firefighter in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. While in Europe, she trained for the European Office of Personnel Management, specializing in conflict resolution, negotiation techniques, and women's leadership. These experiences allow her to successfully relate to diverse audiences. She has a passion for children and fights bullying through her young men and young women's anti-bullying and leadership initiatives. So I want to tell a story. As part of being a NAFE, which is a National Association of Female Executives, I was a member of NAFE. And as part of that, I was launching myself as a speaker in the NAFE area. I'm a speaker myself. However, and as part of that, I got to talk with a very dynamic lady, Michelle Rogers, and we were talking, and I shared with her an assessment that I have, which is the Hidden Motivators Profile. And listeners, if you reach out to me today at www.divyaparekh.com, not only you get a free goal-setting report, if you reach out to me at contact@divyaparekh.com, I will be happy to share the Hidden Motivators Profile, $50 worth value with you if you reach out within 7 days. So going back to the story, I was talking with Michelle Rogers, and Michelle took the assessment, and she was blown away. And then she mentioned Dr. Gail and said that, you know, Dr. Gail will be introducing you as a speaker during the NAFE meeting, and it would be great if Dr. Gail can take the Hidden Motivators Profile as well. So now, after I read Dr. Gail's bio, of course, I was blown away. And to see such a phenomenal lady being so open to taking the assessment, she took the assessment, and then we met at Starbucks Coffee. You know, we were just sitting down. And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it was, for me, the first time I met her and I sensed her energy, there was a click. We connected, and it was nothing but powerhouse. And seeing that, I'm going to let Dr. Gail share her experience about the hidden motivators and what can be achieved. So now, after a long introduction, I'm going to invite her to share a little bit about herself and then share her experience about hidden motivators. Welcome, Dr. Gail. Thank you for being on our show today. It's such an honor to have you.
Well, thank you, Divya. Thank you for having me as a guest. I am excited to be able to chat with you and to be a part of, to talk with your listening audience. I am also excited that I got to take the hidden motivators. I got to learn about those things. And one of the things that really moved me was when I took the, you know, I've taken many assessments and I'm kind of like, okay, I already know what the results are. I pretty much, you know, sometimes you know things about yourself, but then I'm always open to discovering new things about myself because I don't know everything. And I was really interested in seeing how others perceived me or the hidden motivators, if you will. And one of the things that really got me was when I know I have a directing personality. I realize I'm strong and in directing. I like to take leadership. If things are not moving, I like to see them move. But one of the things that I've always worked on is because I'm aware of that about myself, I realized long ago, being the firstborn of 7 children, that if I wanted to get everybody, it always takes more than one set of shoulders to carry a vision. And one of the things is you have to be able to engage the other leaders who are with you. All of my siblings, I consider them leaders. And so I gave them each, I learned how to divide a task up into 7 pieces, if you will, sometimes 6, because there's a lot of years between me and the number 7, and give them leadership in their facet in which they were assigned and encourage them to operate and to execute, if you will, in their area of giftings. So I learned that as a firstborn of 7, how to engage others. And although I could tell you what to do, now I'm good at that too, but I found that the task was easier if I learned how to influence rather than direct. And the end results of the hidden motivators assessment really showed that I, in fact, was operating that way. And that was a delight to me. So I thank you for that gift.
Definitely. You're so good at that.
Well, I appreciate that. I like to engage others. That's my heart, is that, you know, if you can engage others to see your vision, it becomes their vision. I really believe in ownership. And every vision is too big for one set of shoulders. And there's really enough, when you engage other leaders, there's enough territory for everybody. There's always enough territory for I don't understand why people get greedy. Give me my piece of my territory and let me rule effectively. And then I collaborate with like-minded leaders who have territory on either side of me. As long as they don't encroach upon my borders and try to take over, we're cool. But if I have a resource you need that I'm going to share with you and I expect vice versa because I'm going to honor you as a leader, the problem comes in is that people get greedy. And they decide what they have is not enough. And they want to take over your territory too. Well, I say, let us all be a part of the tapestry, and we can cover a lot of ground that way. And we honor each other as leaders and embrace, link arms, and we can take more territory and duplicate ourselves and help other leaders become leaders. That's the way I see it.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to give you acknowledgement that, you know, from your assessment, it showed very clearly that what you are naturally born to do, you have made that leap forward where you pull in the energy and have made that effort and realized it. It's not only making the effort, you're doing it. You know it, you're aware of it, and you're doing it where you are developing others to be leaders. You are opening up the table for everyone to come and sit at. It's just not about you. It's about everyone, and that's what I love about you, Gail.
Oh, thank you so much, Divya. And, you know, one of the things is, you know, at that same meeting where you heard me speak, you spoke too. And I want one of your quotes. This is one of the quotes I've heard you say. And it really, as during our conversations and during your speaking, your message is always very clear. We had a conversation recently where we talked about motivation and inspiration, and I had my own definition, but I really liked a definition that you used during our conversation. You said motivation can be fleeting. Inspiration, once kindled, lasts. Motivation can be fleeting. Inspiration, once kindled, lasts. And that is so true. And my variation of that is you can be motivated to brush your teeth because so they won't rot. But if you inspire someone, you light an inner fire in them that still burns even after you leave their presence. And so you and I have a lot of the same energy in helping others. We want to help others. And, you know, I remember when you spoke at our meeting, some of the comments that I've heard, one of them said, what a powerful message. I have got to take the assessment. That was filling the room when people heard you and you talked about how you have to know yourself, those hidden motivators. When Michelle first approached me about it, I was kind of like, I won't say I'm skeptical, but you know, you take these instruments. You know, I've taken the Myers-Briggs, and you know, they told me what my type was, and it was one, and I didn't like to hear it, but it was. I'm an ENTJ, natural born leader, and they said female ENTJs have a hard time. Well, I didn't want to have a hard time. I didn't want anybody assessing me anymore. I was tired, but I went ahead with Michelle's coaching. And you're being so kind and saying, I'm still waiting for you to take the assessment. And I went ahead and took it. And I am so glad that you honored me with such a wonderful gift, that I got to see myself in a different way. And it helped. And you know what it did for me, Divya?
Mm-hmm.
It empowered me to keep moving forward and to keep doing what I'm doing and I'm aware of what I'm doing now. You know, it's one thing to do something, you're not even really aware of it. But it held up a mirror, and I believe in mirror time. You held up a mirror for me with this assessment and helped me to see myself in a different way. And you know what? I actually patted myself on the back. I don't do that very often, because I always think there's always work to do, and the work is never completed. But that was such an encouragement for me, and as a natural encourager, it was such a great gift, and it lets me know that I'm doing good in this area, and I want to continue on this along that same road, helping others to see how powerful they truly are, so that we can take territory together, positively take territory that negative energy is taken up. Move that negative space, and let's infuse positivity into the territories in which we walk on.
Oh, that's beautifully said. And continuing the story, after we had our conversation, we moved to, like, you know, we were both speaking together, and I had the honor and privilege to sit and listen to Dr. Gale. And I have to say that what Dr. Gale did was she just charged the atmosphere. We had a huge room and probably 70 to 100 people. However, it didn't matter. Just her energy, as she stepped into her self, she is so comfortable within her own skin. She was just there, not looking at the slides, and boom, just a dynamic lady, you know. It's just the whole room was charged. And I heard several people comparing her to Neosporin, saying that, you know, she draws out the infection and heals the wound. And so many people said that she lives up to her name, even though it's a storm. However, what she does is that she stirs people up. And she is really, in essence, an inspirational speaker, because I was inspired. And what I felt along with other people was that she lit that inner fire, reigniting and kindling the fire to move people in the right direction, to come into their own. And I can't say enough about Dr. Gale.
Well, how kind of you. Thank you, Divya. You know, for me, it's about helping other people find out who they are. I teach a principle called the IPD principle, identity, purpose, destiny. I believe that if you don't know who you are, you don't know what belongs to you. And this is oftentimes executed, or you see it on display when people try to undermine, undercut, deceive, and they act in deception. They try to steal, kill, and destroy is what I call it. People's reputation, people's property, people's relationships. When you see people who have that negative energy that are doing that, they don't know who they are. And they're thinking that perhaps if they take the place of that person that they're destroying or trying to destroy, maybe it will give them some type of satisfaction. When in fact, you know, denigrating another person never elevates you. Denigrating another person never elevates you. It just does not. What it does is it adds to the baggage of what you have to pay for, because certainly what goes around comes around. So if you are throwing daggers and you purposely seek to destroy someone's reputation, that is going to come back and visit your house. That's just a spiritual law. It's going to come back. And what happens is when you denigrate someone else, it does not. What it does is the people that you've done this in front of, you think that they're thinking great of you, but they're really not. They're like, oh, wait a minute, I need to watch myself. Wait a minute, let me hesitate before I do business with this person. Wait a minute, I'm going to protect myself in their presence. Wait a minute, they are not forthright, they are not honorable. And I don't care where you go and what circles you're in, there is always an unspoken code of honor. Even in the dirtiest of places you think are just full of evil, there is always an unspoken code that people go by. Some places it's spoken, but there's an unspoken code. They'll say, oh, wait a minute, you stepped across the line. That's too much. People, there's an unspoken code of honor, if you will. And some, even though the circle may be dishonorable, there's always that unspoken code that exists when you're dealing with other people. And for me, Divya, you know, doing what you do, helping people to see those hidden motivators, is part of uncovering that part so people won't hurt other people, so they can see how awesome they truly are. And that your tool helps them to see that, to see themselves in a different light, to see themselves, you know. That's why when I heard the person say, I want to take the assessment that she's talking about, and I'm hoping that your listeners will take advantage of your offer. And within 7 days, please contact her to take the assessment, because it is life-changing. It'll help you see your life in a different way. And as I said, I've taken several, but this one for me was by far. Now, it takes a little time. You got to invest your time now. But anything worth having, you need to take the time. If it's worth having, if somebody gives you something that's doesn't require any investment from you, then you need to watch it. There's usually an investment of time or energy or something or money. There needs to be an investment. If you're not willing to make an investment in yourself, then you need to stay where you are. But if you're interested in moving forward and doing something different with your life and seeing yourself in a different way, learning how you can move forward and get past, so many people are stuck, get unstuck, I strongly suggest that you contact Divya to take this assessment.
Oh, that's powerful, Dr. Gail. You know, it's all about you and I bringing that synergy together to help people. So as we move forward, you know, I would like to share with our listeners that the call-in number is, again, 646-716-9397. And feel free to join us. We would love to have you on the show and participate. So this is the first of the three series, and I'm going to request Dr. Gail to expand on the series that we'll be doing.
Okay. We're going to be talking about the IPD principle, identity, purpose, destiny. And I've said it, stated earlier, if you don't know who you are, you don't know what belongs to you. And so we're going to be talking mostly during this session, just laying the groundwork for that and talking about just how important identity is. So many people walk around with what I call spiritual cataracts. They can't see. They can't see themselves. And they can only see a blurred vision of others. And they're bumping into walls and hurting people unnecessarily because they really can't even look in the mirror and see how awesome they are. And I believe that everyone who was ever created, who walks the earth now, was created to lead somebody somewhere to do something great. You may not believe that about yourself, but I believe that we're all leaders and we all have influence. And it is our choice how we choose to use the energy, the life force that's been placed within these vessels. It's how we choose to use it. How we choose to live says a lot about who we are. And, you know, one of the things I've discovered, Divya, and I know you can understand what I'm saying, is I do a lot of work with children, and I always say to them, you know, it's not how you look that changes a person. It's how you make them feel. I said, people want to do business, and people want to have relationships with people they like and people who like them. I said, it's how someone makes you feel. It's as those intangibles or those woo-woos, as people say, the woo-woo factor. It's how people make you feel. And I was sharing with a group of teenagers the other day when they were acting quite dishonorably, disrespectful. And I just said to them, you know, every door that you want to go through, you want to be successful, you say you want to go to school, you say you want to get a good job, you say you want to, you know, live a better life, how is that going to be possible if you're not honorable? Because every door that you want to go through is guarded by an adult. And it doesn't matter how smart you are, how cute you are, good looking you are, how good grades you have. If you don't have a good attitude and you exude negative energy, they will not let you in. If you're dishonorable, they're not letting you in. It's just that simple. People don't want to deal with all that negative stuff. They don't want to deal with your toxicity. Most people do not enjoy being infused with toxic energy. And so I say to them, every door that you want to go through is guarded by an adult who, depending upon how you make them feel about you, is whether or not you'll gain entry. Now, sometimes we know that there are people who don't like you just because of the way you look. I know that. But I have seen people who don't like you initially change after you honor them. Most people require honor. Honor is such a big thing. And your identity must be infused with honor if you're going to walk from point A to point B successfully. And it's really just that simple.
Oh, that is so true. And it begins with integrity. It's the identity, yes, and integrity go together, because if you think you know yourself and you're not behaving with integrity, then you're not being true to yourself. It's not about others. It's about what you stand for, what you value. If you're changing your behaviors and your actions, then you don't know who you are. So one of the key things, having that identity, is having that integrity also. So we have talked about, we are going to have the series. So today our focus is on the identity. So how can people go about finding their identity?
Well, first of all, I strongly suggest to your listeners to take that assessment. Take that assessment. And, you know, after you take the assessment, they'll show you some things about yourself. It may make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, but sometimes discovering who you really are makes you uncomfortable, because most people just don't know how awesome they truly are. I always say to people, let's take a journey to me. Right now, I'm taking a journey to me. It's always been about others for me, Divya, and I've kind of neglected myself, and I'm beginning to own my own behavior and own my own actions, and say, you know what, it's okay. In other words, here's something that I say has to do with identity, even making choices. Here's a scenario. I was talking to a group of young women, and they were talking about, well, what do you do when you they were having challenges with men. And I said, well, first of all, you all, you'll send a text message to, or he'll text you, and he'll say hi. And then you'll say, hi, how are you? What's going on today? Blah, 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 blah. You rattle up this whole line of text messages. And then he does not respond, and you get angry, and you automatically assume that he's seeing another woman, that he's doing something else. You're not important. You've just given him too much information. I said, then he goes, 2 or 3 days go later, and he says, hey, how are you? And you're like, what? You didn't even answer my question. I said, stop. First of all, if you want to know all that information, talk to your girlfriends. You're dealing with a man. Mm-hmm. I said, they're not going to do that. Stop. I said, stop being, as the children call it, so thirsty. You know, you're just so desperate. Go and get a drink of water. You know, he's not going to do that. I said, you have to give men time to miss you. So in other words, you have to make it all about you. What are you doing for you? What are you doing to improve yourself? What is your life's plan? How are you going to use your gifts? What legacy do you want to leave with the world? How are you going to handle your business? When you get with Y chromosome, your X chromosome, how are you going to relate to him? I'm writing a book right now called X and Y, Relate Before You Mate. So I'm helping X to see how powerful X truly is, because most women have double X chromosomes. We are so powerful that we have absolutely no idea. And sometimes we give that power away so freely because we don't understand our power. We don't know how awesome we truly are. We are such influential creatures. We can come in and change the atmosphere in a room just by a look. And I tell women, I said, what do you like to do? Really, not what other people have told you. Look, get a notebook and write down all the things that you really like to do. Not what others have said about you, but what you really want to do. And if you really stop and think about it, it'll be, most of those things will be stuff that people have not, nobody's mentioned to you. Or it'll be things that you've been doing already and that bring you joy. And most people, when I ask them to write down the things that bring them joy, can't tell me, except for it always has to do with another person. And I say, what are some things that you do or that you experience that have nothing to do with another person? There's some things that you can do with yourself. What are those things? And they go, what if you didn't have your grandchildren? What if you didn't have your husband? What if you didn't have your girlfriends? What would bring you joy? Stop for a minute and think about it. What would bring you joy? Think of a moment. Think of something that you can do. What would bring you joy? Now, for me, it's writing. For me, it's writing. And for me, it's also speaking. I could do a podcast. I mean, I'd love to talk. You probably can't tell. But for me, those things, communicating messages that I believe will change the lives of others and help them to see themselves as awesome and powerful. So everybody has those things that they do. That is part of your identity factor. And then from there, once you get that list, there are endless possibilities. But you've got to get it out of you first. And you're going to see some things when you do this exercise that you've never seen before. When you begin to write the things down, everybody needs a journal. They need some kind of a little book they write in. I don't mean an iPad. I don't mean anything electronic. I mean the old-fashioned way where you have to write it. And it's tangible. Because when you put it on a computer, it's not tangible. You need something. I have a book called my Me Book, M-E Book. And it's got jewels all over. And it's beautiful with jewels all over it. And I go and get that book, and it's talking about me. Everything in it is about me. But that's how it works for me, because I was afraid. You know, people will tell you that you're selfish in a minute, but here's the thing. I believe it's like that old saying. I know you probably heard this, Divya. They were saying, somebody was saying, well, you have to, in order for you to be successful, you have to be a little bit selfish. And I said, well, I think you have to be selfish, but I believe you have to be selfless. You know, it's a saying about before you can help others, you have to help yourself. Like, for instance, on the airplane, when you get on the airplane and they say, before you help anybody else, put your mask on first. That's because you might pass out and you both die. So how are you going to help somebody and you can't breathe? Put your mask on so you can breathe first. In other words, take care of you so that you can help others. You're just that important. You're just that awesome. You're just that powerful that it is okay to take care of you. That's a problem that a lot of women have, that we don't take care of ourselves. In other words, care is not just doing your hair, doing your nails. It's not just buying yourself a new dress. Care is, if you feel like it, put your feet up and have a glass of wine. Stop working for a moment and breathe in the air around you. Go and feel the breeze. Stand on a hill and yell. Do something wonderful. Exercise. Go and visit a friend. Do something that's intangibly, but something that it's hard to duplicate. Something, experience a moment. Celebrate yourself. Get a cupcake and put a candle in it and blow it out and call and say, Happy Me Day. Anything to celebrate you. It's okay.
Oh, that is so true. Because one of the key things is, once you know who you are, it's about owning it. about taking the responsibility.
Absolutely.
And taking those excuses out, because as you so aptly mentioned, Dr. Gale, I loved it, that it's, you know, whenever you're talking to people, it's always about the other person. However, that's not the case. What is personal is universal, and no man is in an island, as the saying goes. So usually, whenever the problem is, it's something within us that's been bothering us. So make the choice, make a commitment to yourself that your state of the mind is your own responsibility, and you're not going to give away that power to the other person. Because whenever you're feeling bad, when somebody else has done something to you, what are you doing? You're carrying a baggage. And believe me, with all the technology that we have so many distractions in our lives that we don't need any more baggages. So I'll just share a quick story. There were two monks, and as the Buddhist monks goes, the Buddhist monks are not supposed to carry anything with them. So they're supposed to just kind of go without the baggage. They go and they go door to door, ask for the food. This is several centuries back, this as the story goes. And they get the food to eat. They eat the food on the very day. And they basically live day to day using nature and the resources to live and pray to God. And additionally, they're not supposed to look at women because they're monks. And now, like, you know, these two monks, let's call them John and Pat. So they are at the riverbank, and they see a pretty young lady. You know, the riverbank was very high. The lady did not know how to swim. She is asking the monks that, oh, please, can you help me? So one monk does not look at her because his philosophy and principles do not allow him to do that. The second monk, John, he's very compassionate, and he tells the young lady, sure, I'll help you cross the river. So he helps her cross the river. And now, after they've crossed the river, John and Pat, they're going through the woods. They've picked the berries. And as the nighttime falls, they pick up the wood, start the fire. They're sitting down the fire. And the whole day, Pat has been giving looks, bad looks to John, as if, oh my God, that John had committed some sort of a crime. And John is in his own world. He's happy. He's meditating as he's sitting, focusing on his breath. And Pat goes and looks at him and says, do you know what you did today? And John looks back at Pat and says, what did I do? So Pat tells him, you know, based on our principles, we are not supposed to take a look at the women. Forget about looking at the women. Not only you looked at her, you helped her cross the river. So John is calm throughout this process, even though the anger is radiating from Pat. He looks at Pat and says, my dear friend, I only carried that woman for 15 minutes. You've been carrying her for the whole day. So instead of meditating and growing his spiritual self, Pat was so engrossed at what John had done, and he was so into that judgment that he lost all those 12 to 14 hours of the day. So similarly, when we are thinking about someone else, what they've done wrong to us, oh, the man did not call me back, I texted him, as Gail shared that story, which happens in our day-to-day life, what's happening is we are letting that day pass away by. So would you agree and share your thoughts about owning our own responsibility?
Absolutely. Even if you make a mistake, you need to own it. I mean, you know, there's nothing more satisfying than knowing what you want and how you want it to show up. For me, I can tell you ownership looks different from it. For everybody that I've talked to, Divya, it looks different. There's some generalities that go with that, but here's what owning stuff looked like for me. I was always allowing others to define me and to tell me what I did, what I was doing was right or wrong. I was always looking to others to affirm me, and I never got it. I was always looking to others to tell me who I was, and I never got it. And they always missed the mark. And I was operating under a false reflection of myself for most of my life. In other words, I thought I had carried every negative comment with me. It was like deeply embedded into my spirit, if you will, for almost all my life, my adult life, and so far. But over the last 5 years, there's been a change. I decided, I wrote down those things, those negative things that have been said about me. I wrote them on a piece of paper, and I wrote until I couldn't write anymore. And then I had a ceremony. I burned them up. Made a little fire and burned them up, and then I ran the ashes down the drain in the sink. I decided that wasn't me, and I rewrote my own, if you will, affirmation. I rewrote my identity. I began to see myself and talk to myself and feed myself. I said, this is who I'm owning. I'm owning me. I know who I really am. I know what I really want. And here's what I discovered with a lot of women especially. We accept what people give us, not really wanting it. I say it's okay for you to know how you want something to show up. Things have to show up the way you like them in your life. You can determine what you choose to own. If you choose to own people saying negative things about you, then you own it. And in other words, like the monk, you carry that with you. If you choose not to own it, then you leave it with them. And it's really that simple. You say, oh, I know they're not talking about me because they don't know me. Keep it moving. Once you have a good sense of who you are, you must affirm yourself, though, because there are going to be all negative forces coming to rip that off you. The new dress, the new outfit that you just put on, this new you, there are going to be all kinds of negative forces that will come at you with scissors, they'll come at you with knives, come at you want to throw paint on you or whatever to destroy it. You must act defensively or offensively and say, I'm sorry, but that's not me. Keep it moving. It's okay for things to show up the way you want. It's okay for you not to allow people to say negative things to you. It's okay for you to stop bad behavior. It's okay for you to even lovingly or sometimes not confront people who are in your path trying to hurt you or who keep their... Here's one thing. I've discovered this. Sidebar. I was surrounded by people who really didn't mean me any good. I had one person in particular who was helping me with a lot of tasks, but she was undermining me the whole way. She would say, oh, and then she would flip from being a professional, and then a friend. Oh, you know, I was too busy to do that, but she was supposed to be representing me professionally. And the lines were blurred. Very, very unprofessional, but, you know, whenever it was convenient, she was professional. When it benefited her, but the other times when she didn't do what she said she was going to do for me, she was my friend. Oh, you know, I have a lot going on. It was one of those kind of things. But all the while, I was carrying this weight of this person. Well, I finally decided I don't want to do that anymore. Because I went to a speaking engagement, and the people there said, you know, you need to watch who represents you. This person has not done you a disservice. Now, for someone to tell you that, and you're still carrying that person because they're your friend. I finally had to dismiss this person and tell them that their services were no longer needed. And then it was as if a floodgate of positive stuff started coming my way. My whole life has changed just from moving that boulder. And so it's okay for you to dismiss people from your circle who are not serving you well. That's a part of identity. It's okay for you to know what you want your life to look like. That's identity. It's okay for you to decorate your room with what you like. That's identity. It's okay to do you and to have your me book and write in it, because if you do not take care of you, you will never be able to take care of others in your life. You will never be able to, and what you'll do is you'll see yourself as a burden, and you get to that, oh, I gave up everything for them and they don't see me. Oh, no. Stand up. Put on your new dress, put on your heel or whatever it is that you put on and say, I'm still doing me And that task is done. And I mean, even with motherhood, that task, you're going to always be somebody's mother, but you're not going to always be living with them. Sometimes we even have to release our children because we carry them too long. So, you know, it's about owning you and making decisions that make you ultimately make you feel filled with joy.
Yeah, being me. That's what it is. Identity is being comfortable with your own skin, accepting yourself. And if there are people who are pulling you down, who are bringing you down, let them go. It's okay.
And you know what? Sometimes people, we're not even aware that people are bringing us down. We're so accustomed to being put down, we think it's normal. Well, I say you need to do an assessment. Are the people in your life making you feel up? Are they making you feel like you want to get up and take the mountain? Are they people who make you want to rise to every occasion? Or every time you say something, can they give you a negative tidbit? You have to decide what it is that you want. Sometimes we get so comfortable in the negative that it becomes our normal. But it is not normal for you to live with toxicity. It is not normal for someone to criticize you all the time. It is not normal for you to feel bad about yourself all the time, every day, every minute of every hour. It is not normal.
That is so, so true. Oh, gosh. It's about reemphasizing and reinforcing what we know. So you have brought a really good point to light, that we may not know that people are pulling us down. So what's a really good way of knowing when you're surrounded by those kind of people? How do you know that someone is pulling you down?
Well, I can tell you, for me, I want to go to bed early. I'm tired. Okay? Toxic people drain you. That's the first symptom. You're tired physically because, you know, they pull on you emotionally, but it manifests physically. I know for sure, I had a person in my life, oh my God, very recently, I had to just get rid of them. I couldn't take it anymore. I had something really, really good happen, and they usually are the first ones to chime in something negative. Are you sure you can do that? I don't know if that's something that how are you going to find time to do that? And everything that I did, they always had a negative comeback. They would come around me and my family, and the first thing they would do was do an assessment of my children. If my children didn't look a certain way and act a certain way, they wanted to tell me that I need to put my children in counseling. There's something wrong with your children. They really is. I mean, every part of my life was under a microscope, and I was so tired of always trying to defend myself and to defend my children. And this was somebody very close to me. And I finally said, I can't do this. I cannot do this. If this behavior continues, you have to go. So this person hung up the phone on me, and I was so glad because they ended the connection and not me. And so therefore, and then when they tried to pick it back up again, the door was closed because they closed it. But sometimes you have to say, how do I feel after this person leaves me? Or when I hear their voice, do I feel up? Or do I have to say, oh God, I have to go through this? That's not negative. That's not normal. It's okay for you to get rid of toxic people. It's okay, because most toxic people I have found, Divya, now this is just me, are looking for a human host to draw on, to suck your energy dry. And once they've done that to you, they go to the next victim. They're looking for a human host. And so they get a fix from you, and then they go off, and you go and recharge yourself, and then they come and they drain you again and again. And it's a cycle. But these toxic people are like vampires. They will suck your energy. And you know when you're around somebody and you're tired and they make you tired, you have a headache, and you can't concentrate, that right there is a sign right there that you are around toxicity. When you are drained beyond anything that you can, when you wake up the next morning and still asleep in your, and you fell asleep in your clothes, that's a good sign right there.
I have had the same experience. If you're not feeling good from within, when you're in the presence of someone else, you know that that person is pulling you down. And another way of finding out in my experience has been is that if you really like, so for example, I'll share my story.
Okay.
I have got different friends. And there are only few friends when I find out that, oh, you know what, I have a free evening coming up. There are only few friends that I keep on reaching out for again and again, because what I remember is how they made me feel. That in their presence, I feel uplifted, I feel inspired. And that's another way of knowing who makes you feel good. And if they make you feel good, if we reverse the same philosophy that, you know, there are people who pull you down, then seek people out who make you feel good, who make you feel inspired, who make you feel uplifted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really what you want, is you want to be around people who can help you create synergy, positive energy, and you, and together, it's like, you know what it's like? It's like doing a dance. Can you dance well together? I really believe that it's a dance. Can you dance well together? And dancing is a part of relationship, relating, being able to know, you know, it's okay, I like to tango and you like to waltz. So if we're going to tango tonight, I'm going to lead. If we're going to waltz the next night, you're going to lead. And that's okay, because we understand the rhythm. Relationships are about rhythm. Being, and identity is about rhythm, finding people who have a similar rhythm and who understand the nature of the dance.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. Understanding the nature of the dance. It takes two to tango, right? That's why they say that.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
So now we have talked about, yeah, no, definitely. We have talked about how to know your identity and finding the toxicity in life and resolving it. So one of the things that you shared was to drop people who are pulling you down. What are the
Absolutely.
Other ways to someone?
Well, you asked me what are some ways you can drop them? Is that what you said?
No, what I'm saying is that, you know, what are some of the ways that we can overcome our toxicity in our own mindsets or in our heart? Like, you know, sometimes what happens is, I have heard you say in one of your conversations that, you know, when you compare, it leads to competition, and when you are competing, it leads to corruption.
Okay, thank you about that. I have this little saying called the toxic seas. Comparison leads to competition, which leads to corruption. When you don't know who you are, you will compare yourself with other people and their accomplishments, how they live. You'll compare. And oftentimes when you begin to compare yourself with other people, you will usually compete with them on some level. You may say, oh, well, she's not so good. She's not so smart. I know what she does, but she's not so good at that. You compare and you compete. That's a competition, tearing people down. Because and then that leads to corruption. And that corruption means you'll never have a pure connection with that person, because you have decided that you're going to exercise in the toxic seas. Comparison leads to competition, which leads to corruption. But if you know who you are, you don't have a need to compare yourself with another person. You know what works for you. It's almost like that, you know that saying, Divya, the grass is always greener?
Yeah.
You compare yourself to another person, you automatically assume that their grass is greener. And when you get over there, you see that they really had, fake grass. But you went over there thinking it was real. And you said, why is it they never cut their grass? Why is their lawn so perfect? Well, they had plastic grass over there, but you didn't even know it because you didn't take time to go over there and see. And they tell you, oh, no, I don't have time to do that. I just put some plastic grass out here. They laid out some fake grass, and they'll keep it moving. And you're thinking, how can that be so dumb? Well, you never would have known that had you not compared. You automatically compared yourself to that person. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what their grass is like. But you just compared it. That's what we do. We don't even realize sometimes how good we have it where we are and how wonderful our life really is, and that the things that we need are usually right around in front of us, right within our reach. Usually a lot of the things that will make us successful are right in our own house oftentimes. So, you know, when we compare ourselves with another person, it's because we don't know who we are.
Mm-hmm. No, that is so true. And bringing that to the social media, just several days back, I was talking with one of my friends, and what she was saying, and she was talking about that, oh, you know, some of those people that she is friends with, they seem so happy. And as we were talking about the conversations, we went into the deeper levels, and as the layers were unraveling, she came to the conclusion herself that, oh yeah, you know, I never thought about that those people are not comfortable putting themselves out there on the Facebook. So maybe even though they have pains and distortions in their lives, yet they're putting their best foot forward. So this, how this came about was, we have a mutual friend, and let's say my friend, the first friend that Sue I was talking about, so Sue was saying that, oh, Patty is so wonderfully happy, she's so fortunate, da-da-da-da-da, now she's comparing. And then when I told Sue what Patty was going through, and all her blogs on the social media were just about the good things that were happening in life, then she said, I didn't even realize it. I'm going to reach out to her and see what I can help her with. So Patty is going through a severe illness in her family and dealing with it for a year. So now assume what's in other person's lives, especially with the social media, it can be so something. It's so distracting that it creates such a noise level that we can't even relate to ourselves.
And you know, sometimes social media, I've seen people on social media fall apart because they start comparing themselves to other people, and they look at what other people are posting and thinking, wow, their lives are so great. Look at what they're doing with their business. Look at what they're doing. I'm not doing anything. I've actually had to talk people off of a ledge, down off a ledge or out of the top of a tree, because they were so busy looking at other people and what they perceived was success. When in fact, a lot of the stuff that you see on social media is not 100%. Okay. Sometimes people will, you know, will put that stuff out there and it looks really, really good. But you ask yourself, I have to ask myself, is that what I want to go do? Is that the direction I want to go in? I've had people who have contacted me for counsel, and then they try to get me as a client. All of a sudden, they get with another group of people, and they're trying to get me as one of their clients. And I've had to counsel them. I'm thinking, okay, what's wrong with this picture? So you never know. Social media is exactly what it is. It's social and it's media. Put your stuff out there and be social, and then step back and watch it because it's media. That's the way I see it.
It's just like being on a TV show, you know, you put on a show
and it's reality TV.
Yeah.
So
it's reality TV.
That's what it's called, social media. Put a little something out there to let people know you're social, but then step back and watch it because it's media. So I'm just saying, you know, we get out there, we allow people to put stuff out there, and what they put out there, we take that as gospel, that's truth, that it's, oh, they're doing so much better. And we begin that, the toxic seeds flourishes in social media because you compare yourself to other people. Let me give you an example. Like right now, I have not been very active on social media probably for the last month. And normally I'm posting something every day or every week, and I have not done it. Although I have a huge following, I just have not done it. That's because I'm building something new, and I've had to stop and pay attention to my teenagers because they're in a stage, we just went through a big event. And so I have not had time to nurse my social media culture. I didn't feel like doing that. And I've also known that I need to restructure what I'm doing in a different way. And so I'm putting it together so I can be more organized, so I can be more consistent. And that's because I know that I need to be more social, and because I am part of the media. So I'm having to restructure it. I know I'm part of the media, so I know people wait for me to post. They wait for me to give them encouragement because I'm a natural encourager, but I have not been doing that because I had to focus on my family. And so for me, I remember thinking one time, wow, these people are doing all this stuff. Then I thought, wait a minute, I have a job to do. It has nothing to do with what they're doing. what I'm doing is very similar, but it's not the same. And I said, and just because she's wearing high heel shoes doesn't mean that I have to wear those shoes. I need to put on my sandals today. I mean, it's like the things that they're doing are for them. And sometimes you see all these people that are going and taking pictures with celebrities and stuff, and it doesn't mean a thing except for they just spent some money and went to a conference. It doesn't mean that they're doing something so big that they are untouchable. It just means that they went to a conference, they bought their plane ticket, they got in the hotel, they went to the conference, and they pushed their way through the crowd to get a picture taken. I mean, do you understand what I mean? But people think, oh, my God, she's so far ahead of me. She's going here. And I'm thinking, okay. And, Divya, here's my thing. Honestly, this is how I feel. Anyway, in terms of looking at what other people are doing, and when I go and I speak, because I am a speaker, I always say there's one thing that levels the playing field for us all when it comes to identity. And then please know that I did not come to offend, but to inform. And I'm very, very real. And that is toilet paper. We all use it. So the bottom line is we all use toilet paper. So you got to know that eventually everybody's got to use that. So and we all are equal in the, on that playing field. We're all equal. With our time is what we need to handle our business. We should use our time to do what works for us best, you know, for us. And, you know, you wanted me to mention about what I do as a speaker. I am an inspirational speaker, and I speak, I have spoken all over the world, and I speak on many subjects: leadership, inspiration, identity, purpose, destiny, many subjects. And if people want to know more about me, they can visit my website, handleyourbusinessgirl.com. They can also find me on social media at handleyourbusinessgirl, Dr. Gail Hayes and the Handle Your Business Girl Empowerment Zone. And also, they can also take a look at NAFENC, NAFENC.com. I am the director for the Triangle, Raleigh-Durham area. But Handle Your Business Girl is really where you'll find me, the heart of who I am, handleyourbusinessgirl.com.
No, thank you for sharing that. And so what are your new projects that are coming out?
Well, let's see. I'm doing, right now I'm working in the educational arena, and I'm working on a book that'll be finished very soon called The Power of a Parent Who Leads. I've run into so many parents who need tips on how to help their children, and that book will be coming out shortly. Also, another book, I'm working on one for women, and for young women and young men, and it's for older women. I'm going to do this book for teens and for adults. It's called X and Y Relate Before You Mate. X and Y Relate Before You Mate. And they're going to be questions. It's going to be a short, cute little book, questions that X should ask Y, and things that Y needs to know about X before you mate. So, well, it's true. You know, we jump into relationships with people and we don't even know them. And then we get in there like, oh, my God, I got to back out of the door. How can I escape? And you haven't even talked to them. It's like, you know, like we were talking about earlier, the dance. You don't know. You like to waltz, and then you get with a guy who likes to tango, and he's breaking your back, and you don't know how to tell him.
No, that is so true. No, that's great. You know, so listeners, you have heard how to get in touch with Dr. Gail, and also as far as getting in touch with me, again, I want to share, I will have an upcoming show on May 7th with another phenomenal lady, Lori Woodruff. It's about love and credit, and we are going to talk about how the financial relationship works for you in personal life and in relationships and in the work life. So it's all about the money mindset. So please join us. And this hour has been so wonderful. And
thank you.
One thing before I want to add is, before we head out, is I want to share what Dr. Gail mentioned, that, you know, it's about allowing other people also on the table, having that synergy. And that's what I found with Dr. Gail. The first time I met with her, and it was the connection. And from there, we have connected, we meet on a regular basis, and we promote each other, we help each other to be our best. And I continuously look forward to working with Dr. Gale, as well as it's just been an honor and privilege to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much, Divya. The honor and privilege was all mine. Thank you for allowing me to share my heart with your listeners and with you, and for having me as your guest. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. And so, listeners, join us back on May 7th. And, of course, go to the Blog Talk Radio, and you will be finding several other great shows that are upcoming. Please join us, and feel free to drop us a line if there are any questions Dr. Gale has shared. A lot of information, feel free to reach out to her or feel free to reach out to me. Be powerful until next time. Thank you, Dr. Gale.
Thank you.